This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:36 in the morning, Tuesday the 20th of April, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Philip C and I'm Wong Xiao Ning. Now, we are currently running a poll on Twitter asking you, what's the biggest setback for the COVID-19 immunization program? And there are four choices. Do let us know. We're running this poll for another hour, and it's also part of the conversation that we'll have later with at 7:45 with regards to COVID-19, the variants, and of course, the vaccination program. But in the meantime, after the news, as usual, we are going to have the breakfast grill where I will be speaking with Dr. Virinderjit Singh, who is the chairman of Tricom Malaysia, and Carmelo Felito, who is the CEO for Centre for Market Education. And it's going to be a bit of a touchy topic because it's about tax, and it's tax month after all. And in light of that, we're going to take a deep dive into the key question. How can the government expand the tax base and increase revenue in an equitable and balanced way without suffocating enterprise? And is tax reform the solution? So do tune in. That's going to be happening after the 8 a.m. news bulletin, excuse me. But in the meantime, shifting our attention to the US, because in the first semi-annual foreign exchange report issued by Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, the US Treasury Department noted that Vietnam, Switzerland, and Taiwan tripled their threshold for possible currency manipulation under a 2015 US trade law, but refrained them, formally branding them, excuse me, as manipulators.
Well, despite the finding, it did find insufficient evidence under an earlier 1988 law to conclude that Vietnam, Switzerland, or Taiwan are manipulating exchange rates to gain a trade advantage or prevent balance of payments adjustments. Now, instead, it will commence enhanced engagements with Taiwan and continue such talks with Vietnam and Switzerland after the Trump administration labeled the two as currency manipulators in December. Additionally, it also said it found 11 economies warrant placement on its monitoring list of major trading partners that merit close attention to their current practices. That includes China, Japan, Germany, Singapore, and Malaysia.
So, for more on this, we speak to Stephen Schwartz, Senior Director and Head of Sovereign Ratings for Asia Pacific with Fitch Ratings. Good morning, Stephen. Now, before we get into the details of this latest US Treasury report, what is the purpose of a currency manipulator designation?
Good to be with you, and thanks for having me. Well, as you noted at the outset, the US Treasury under 1988 law in the US, and then it was revised a bit in 2015, is charged twice a year with issuing a currency report in which they make an assessment of some 20 major trading partners of the U.S. and whether they're following fair currency practices, by which the U.S. means that they are not engaging in currency manipulation to gain an unfair competitive advantage or to prevent balance of payments adjustments. So that's really the crux of it.
So why do it? What are the implications if you are designated as one?
Interesting question, why do it? You know, the International Monetary Fund, a leading multilateral financial agency, was set up precisely to prevent these kinds of so-called beggar thy neighbor policies. You know, back in the 1930s after the Great Depression, it was quite common that countries would impose tariffs on each other's goods or depreciate their currencies to gain a competitive advantage. And so the IMF, through its surveillance activities, is meant to prevent that kind of activity. But they rely on peer pressure. And evidently, the US has long thought that the IMF does not on its own pursue this agenda with the rigor that it requires. So the US gets into the game and, through its very large voting share in the IMF, puts pressure to bear through the executive board on countries that it deems is engaging in these practices. And it's a bit unclear what the designation of a currency manipulator means in practice, but what it triggers is an enhanced dialogue and calling on the IMF to get into the action. And it could ultimately, if negotiations fail to resolve the issue, result in countervailing duties on the part of the U.S. against the so-called offending countries.
And were you surprised that the U.S. Treasury refrained from designating Vietnam and Taiwan as currency manipulators?
We were not surprised at all. You know, we've felt since the Biden administration took office that it was likely to pursue a much more multilateral approach to international economic disputes. And I think this is evidence that it's doing that. So rather than beating up countries bilaterally, it's you know, trying to engage in a more multilateral approach. And also, it's important to note that geopolitics are clearly at play as the U.S. is trying to rebuild the links to its alliances in the Asia Pacific region and elsewhere. The last thing it wants to do is hit countries over the head like Taiwan and Vietnam when it's trying to build up a coalition to confront, you know, China's growing economic might.
This is fascinating because we are talking about how politics influences these kind of decisions, but don't you generally make these calls based on clear numbers and analysis?
Good question. So in 2015, the U.S. Enhanced this framework by implementing a more quantitative approach to these assessments. And it looks at three key variables, and you alluded to this at the outset. One is the size of the bilateral trade surplus that a given country has with the U.S. Two is its overall current account balance. And third is its intervention over the past year in foreign exchange markets. And it has quantitative thresholds. And if a given country triggers all three, it's supposed to be put on the currency manipulator list. Now, in its more multilateral and comprehensive and, you know, I would say broader approach to this issue, the Biden administration has noted that the coronavirus is an exceptional shock and that some countries are running larger surpluses vis-a-vis the U.S. than they would were it not for the shock. So it's giving these countries some time for supply disruptions to normalize and economies to get back on track before it pulls the trigger.
And Stephen, I mean, 11 economies, including Malaysia, were placed on its monitoring list for currency practices. I mean, what are the implications of this?
Yeah, I guess we can think of the monitoring list as kind of a yellow traffic light. It's just putting countries on notice that, you know, you're reaching certain thresholds and to try to curb their behavior. So it doesn't have any practical meaning as far as we know, but it sort of brings those countries up to the radar.
And what does this mean for currency movements with versus the US dollar or other currencies as well?
Yeah, it's a bit ambiguous. You know, on the one hand, you'd expect at the margin this to lead these particular currencies to appreciate to the extent that countries have been engaging in policies that have kept the value of their currencies low. If the U.S. is bringing pressure to bear on them to reverse course, you might see at the margin some appreciation. On the other hand, if the U.S. were to implement countervailing duties or other kinds of restrictions, as we saw in the past couple of years in the U.S.-China trade war, that would cause individual countries to depreciate. That's what happened with the Chinese currency when the U.S. imposed tariffs on its goods. So I would say it's an ambiguous effect, but in the near term, at the margin, probably would lead to stronger currencies in the designated countries.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Stephen Schwartz, the Senior Director and Head of Sovereign Ratings for Asia Pacific with Fitch Ratings, giving us the lowdown on this recent list, Janet Yellen's first list as Secretary of the Treasury to be on currency and currency manipulators. At the end of the day, it doesn't seem like it means that much.
It's really a tool to influence the IMF.
Yes.
It doesn't really bear much bearing. Even how you assess it has a bit of a wonkiness to it.
It's not completely objective, is it?
Exactly.
It's very subjective, right?
Correct.
Because one way you can do it is you can just increase the threshold suddenly overnight and there's no hard and fast rule with regards to it. I think you're right. There seems to be an interplay of geopolitical relationships with regards to who they decide to label as a currency manipulator, who they don't, and maybe even on some level who they put on this watch list, you know, like a yellow card almost.
Okay, lah.
But whether it causes your currency to go up, maybe sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But we'll be watching this space closely. I think this is something interesting to follow because it's a reflection of the geopolitical tensions in the region, how US wants to kind of show a little bit of muscle and maybe an indication of how Biden will approach all the different ASEAN countries and, of course, also beyond ASEAN countries like Switzerland. But up next, we'll be speaking to Azrul Muhammad Khalid, CEO of Galen Center for the Health and Social Policy, on all the latest updates of COVID-19 in Malaysia. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.